Praise the Lord and good evening from First Pentecostal Church. We welcome you to our live stream service tonight. Trust and hope that you're doing well. What a wonderful day that the Lord has given us. We're very, very blessed, amen, to be able to come tonight, amen, to bring the word of the Lord to you and some songs of worship and praise. We do want to start tonight's service with a word of prayer, and as we prepare to go to prayer, we want to remember each and every one of our congregation who are sick and afflicted. We just want to pray a very special healing on their part, touching and anointing those who are having surgeries done, those who may be in the hospitals, the nursing homes. Many are just sick and shut in and battling a lot of situations that's going on right now. So we want to remember them in prayer. But before I forget it, I would like to call on our church to sometime during this week, maybe each and every day, just set aside a certain time to pray for those in our congregation who are sick. We have many that right now are battling this virus, and we need to pray and lift them up and encourage them. So I'm asking you tonight, as a pastor, just set aside some time, maybe at work, at home, whatever you can do, just to pray for a healing and a touching and anointing of those who are suffering, not only in our congregation, but many in this nation are suffering as well. A time of prayer and meditation for the Lord. I believe the Lord will honor that, and I believe he'll bless that. So we ask you to do that. We're probably going to follow that up with a text blast too, just to remind us this week to be much in prayer for those who are sick. Now let's just bow our heads and pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come tonight to love you and to thank you, God, for your many, many blessings, thanking you for this day that you've given us and this opportunity to gather here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to live stream tonight, God, to reach those souls and to reach those homes, God, who are not able to be here tonight. Praying, God, that you would reach there and minister healing to those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who are suffering. God, I ask you to lift them up, God, with your healing hand, God, and also ask you to give them comfort during this time. Bless those in our nation who are suffering, those leaders, God, and those first responders. I pray, God, that you would be with them to protect them. Just place a hedge of safety about them. God, I ask, Lord, that your anointing will be upon every part of this service tonight. God, anoint the word, anoint the singers, God, and just anoint this spirit that we feel in this place tonight, God, and we'll look to you to give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. Amen. Amen. Before we have songs tonight, I just want to announce, too, that we will continue live stream through this Sunday. We will have Sunday morning service only on live stream. We will not be having a Sunday evening service. And then the following Wednesday will also be a live stream. Hoping and praying by next Sunday, we'll be able to have corporate worship again. We'll let you know if that is going to be the case. But looking at it now, I think we'll be able to have corporate worship starting next Sunday. Not next Sunday, but Sunday week. And again, we'll keep you attuned to the fact of that. So right now, hopefully, that's what we're looking for and praying for. So God bless you. Tonight, we're going to ask Sister Jennifer. She'll prepare a song for us. Maybe Sister Penny. And then we'll get into the word of the Lord.
When life lets you down, you feel more broken than whole. When the wounds go deeper than words, and you can't tell a soul, I may not know what you're but one thing I've found that I really want you to know if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear, whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, where you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. Friend, do you think the Maker and Giver of life is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife? He sees the sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in his sight. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master. He wants to share the burdens you bear. Whisper peace when your world gets shattered. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it matters to the Master. If it's your greatest joy or your deepest pain, or you're really needing an answer, if it matters to you, it doesn't only matter to you. If it matters to you, it matters to the Master.
Just to God is my refuge.
When clouds of doubt hover o'er me, storm clouds toss me to and fro, there is a place I can go, 'cause he's a ship for every tempest. He's an sure, and in times like this, it's good to know God is my refuge. He's the strong and mighty tower that I can. From the shelter up ahead, I could not see those dark clouds so heavy with rain. And then the winds blew so hard against me, he called out, never wonder again. God is my refuge. refuge. He's a strong and mighty tower that I can run into. God is my refuge. Without Him,
comforting to know that God is our refuge. Amen. Without Him, what would we do? We'd not be able to make it, that is for sure. But we don't have to be alone. We got God with us.
I'm going to try to do that.
You know, it's so comforting to know that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, I mean, God is never too busy to be with us. We can be on the highest mountain and feel the presence of the Lord. We can be in the lowest valley and know that He is still there with us. It's comforting to know that He will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what we go through. This song, I guess, epitomizes maybe my testimony more than most of the songs that I sing. I've been on the mountain with Jesus. I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me. When to Him with my trouble I go. So let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. Never make heaven my home. I've been on the mountain with Jesus, and I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me. When to Him with my trouble I go. So let me walk with You, Jesus. Don't ever, ever leave me alone. For without You I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Just let me walk Jesus. Please, Lord, don't ever leave me
alone. For without you I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Oh, Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away, Jesus. Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. Without Him, I could do nothing. Oh, without Him, I'd surely fail. Like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Without Him, how lost I would be.
Amen. No truer words have ever been penned. Without Jesus, how lost we would be. But I'm so thankful that Jesus loved us, even in our sin. He came and died on the cross of Calvary that we might have redemption through His precious shed blood. God bless you again. We welcome you that are out there on the live stream tonight. Hope and pray that you're doing well. Those of you that are sick and afflicted, our hearts and our thoughts and prayers go out to you, expecting God to do a miracle. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, speak healing, amen, into your body. If you have your Bibles tonight there at home, go with us to the 5th chapter of the book of St. Matthew. In the 5th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, we're going to read verses number 1 through 12 tonight. We're not going to do the entire Sermon on the Mount. That was in itself a very lengthy message from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it never ceases to amaze me that those that were there listening were able to sit for that long period of time, not on a cushioned pew, not in an air-conditioned building, but many were sitting on the ground or on rocks or whatever the case may be, listening intently to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord began to speak, people's attention, amen, was focused in on the words, amen, that He had to say, because He spoke life. But tonight we just want to focus on the first 12 verses. Matthew writing in the fifth chapter, verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just want to thank you and love you, God, for your amazing grace, your peace, God, and your joy, even in times of difficulties. Father, we ask you tonight to anoint these lips of clay. God, to bless and anoint, Lord, that those that are hearing the word of God tonight. God, I pray that this word that Jesus himself spoke while he was on this earth, God, will be enriching to our souls and to our spirit. Pray, God, that it would just seek comfort, Lord, to those who are in need tonight. God, and produce healing for those who may be sick and afflicted. We ask, God, for your guidance. We ask your Holy Ghost right now to just come down and settle over this place, Father, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. For we ask these blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate you tuning in tonight. If I had a message title tonight, it would be In God's Favor. In God's Favor. Basically, the reason for that particular topic or title is because that mainly is the definition of being blessed. I want us to understand tonight that all blessings don't come in the form of monetary gain or even good health. Those are blessings, but I believe they're blessings that sometimes may be unidentifiable. And for that, I hope to maybe explain that just a little bit later as we get into the message. But I believe that we can be in God's favor regardless of the outward conditions, regardless of what's going on around us. We find here that Jesus did something very interesting. It's often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, and we're told by a couple of the writers of the Gospels that there was a multitude of people around Jesus. Now understand, during this particular time of Jesus' ministry, he was healing folks. He was opening up the blinded eyes. Lame were walking. Diseased were healed, casting out evil spirits, and doing all manner of miracles and wonders in the eyes of the beholders of the people. And people were intrigued about this Messiah, this man of God, this person that came in earth under his Father's anointing and in his Father's name, and they were congregating to receive of Jesus. Now we know that there were many there to receive healing. There were many there probably that had traveled a great distance, understanding they wasn't just jumping in the automobile and driving to this revival, but many of them probably had spent a day or two journey just getting to where the location of Jesus was. To hear him speak, to be the recipient of his healing virtue as he laid his hands on many countless people and were healed. But in this particular instance, we find that Jesus' disciples, and when we talk about the disciples, those are basically the followers of Christ, those that were committed and dedicated to following him. They were also a part of this multitude. Now, many scholars would seem to think that it was more than just the 12 disciples. Many of them make the point that probably some of Jesus' closest followers, maybe family, maybe close friends, were also in this particular congregation or this multitude. But here Jesus speaks and he says that, Matthew gives the account that Jesus said, seeing the multitudes, in other words, he went up into the mountain. Now, there's some maybe disagreement as to where all the multitude followed him up to the mountain, or mainly if they just stayed in the plain, because if you read the entire story, Jesus came down from the mountain and he went out into the plain and he began to minister and heal those that were diseased and those were afflicted and sick. But also many scholars think that maybe some of the multitude actually followed Jesus and the disciples up the mountain to see what was going to happen. Because understand, they had come to hear Jesus. They had come to receive of Jesus. And now he excuses himself and goes up into the mountain with his disciples. The Bible says when he gets there, he sits down and he opens his mouth. Man, I'm so glad that the Gospel of Matthew included that, and we need to take heed of that. We often refer to it as the red letters when Jesus spoke. We have the accounts of those that tell us what Jesus said. But my understanding is that the words in red are verbatim the words that Jesus Christ spoke. So evidently there were some good note takers or some people in the congregation that had a good memory as they began to give an account of what was happening on this mountain. So Jesus sat down and he opened his mouth and he began to teach the disciples. Now I believe with all of my heart that Jesus had a motive for teaching the disciples. There was a reason he brought them away from the multitude. There was a reason that he went into recess, so to speak, of healing and anointing those that were afflicted. There would be that time of healing. There would be that time of ministering. But right now, Jesus saw a great need to pull his disciples aside and begin to teach them and remind them and let them know how blessed they are and how and in what form the blessings would come. Now, in today's church, you would talk about blessings. If you would ask people, have you been blessed this week? Certain people would respond by saying a certain good thing that happened to them during the week. I've been blessed with good health. I've been blessed with a raise on the job. I've been blessed with a wonderful opportunity this week, a promotion in my job. Many, many things. If you ask the common or the ordinary saint, if there is such a word as an ordinary saint, the blessed, filled with the Holy Ghost, saint of God, what kind of blessing have they had? They're going to probably tell you something that happened to them, good or in a positive tone. But Jesus begins to talk about some other things that sometimes we don't identify as, or if we don't recognize them as being a blessing or being blessed when these certain things begin to happen to us. But I believe that Jesus was preparing those disciples for the hard road that was ahead of them. You know, so many times, if we preach everything is easy, if we preach everything that you ask for, God is going to give you. If we preach that you don't have to do anything, just sit back and enjoy the blessings of God, I'm afraid so many saints of God are going to be very, very disappointed when trouble and trial and afflictions and situations arise in our life. But if, in fact, we point them to the Word of God and tell them that we are blessed in spite of those things and that the power of God will never leave us nor forsake us, even when we go through these great trials or persecutions or tribulations, then they will be readily prepared for the onslaught that Satan comes against us. Because let me tell you, life sometimes can be very, very burdensome and very hard. But when we've been taught what the Word of God tells us, we've been prepared by the Spirit, the power that God has instilled within us, and we have Jesus' words to go on, and thank God for the Word. Thank God for the living Word. I have to constantly abide by the Word of God, because sometimes that's the only place that I can find comfort and peace is the Word of the Lord. So Jesus begins to speak. In verse number 3, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, we need to understand, first of all, the setting. We need to understand possibly the reason that Jesus was taking this time and opportunity to bring this type of teaching or this type of message to his disciples, to those that were closely around him, to those that were devoted and committed to him. Now, many people followed after Jesus, but we find only a few actually followed Jesus, if you understand what I'm talking about. We often think out of all the multitude, all of the healings, all of the people that Jesus touched during his 3.5 years of ministry on this earth, it narrowed it down to only 120 that actually went to the upper room and waited on the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We even find that there was even less than that that were there on the day that he himself was crucified for their very sins. Very few, if any, was there to actually help the Lord Jesus Christ and to be there to comfort him. Many of them, possibly some that were even healed, were in the crowd hollering, "Crucify him, crucify him." Those were not devout followers. Those were the ones that followed after Christ simply for what they could receive from Christ. But Jesus pulls the disciples aside and says, "Let me tell you something," and this is kind of paraphrasing here, "it's not going to be an easy road. Everything's not going to go your way. But I'm going to prepare you and let you know that you are blessed in spite of anything and everything that may come your way during your ministry." Because Jesus knew that his ministry on this earth was very short. So he tells them, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit basically means broken and humble. If God honors anything, he honors humility. Time and time again, there are accounts of humility in the Word of God. Stories, parables that Jesus himself taught. The parable of the Sadducee, or the Pharisee and the publican. And when they prayed, the Pharisee boasted and said what he was and what he did. But the publican just smote himself on the chest and said, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible tells us that he went away more justified than the one who was blowing his own horn and arrogant about what he did and what he was. So the Lord is always honored, always upholds humility. And he tells the disciples that you must practice humility. You must have a broken spirit or a poor spirit. Doesn't mean that you're poor in spirit. Doesn't mean that you have a spirit of poverty and blessings. Amen. Because we understand and know that greater is he that is within us. Amen. We always have to remember that and understand that. But he tells them that you'll be blessed, even the poor in spirit. You'll be blessed because of your humility. Because if you will humble yourself, then I will exalt you. So, disciples, you need to know that there's going to be times that you're going to have to practice humility. You may want to rear up. You may want to be argumentative. You may want to just absolutely shout and get your way over something else, but you got to understand that you must practice humility. And church, we still need to practice humility today. He refers to it as the poor in spirit. Not poor because the spirit is limited, but poor because we're humble and broken and love one another and have compassion one for another. The second thing that he addresses, he said, blessed are they that mourn. I do believe with all of my heart that there is never a tear that is shed that God is not aware of. Even in our most secretive time, even when we're not at liberty to share our emotions with anyone else, maybe we're trying to keep a stiff upper lip. Maybe we're trying to deal with a problem the very best way that we can. But even in that, and even in being filled with the Spirit of God and having a relationship with the Lord, there's still times, amen, that when we just get so down and out, and it may be a sickness, it may be affliction, it may be the loss of a loved one, but there's a time that we mourn. There's a time, it may be actual tears that run down our cheek. But understand, we're not alone. There is a God of comfort. There is a God who cares. And Jesus was preparing them. You may be in a lonely state of mind if you're carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be one and the only one in your circle of friends or people that you work with that's really trying to live a holy and righteous life before God. And sometimes the devil likes to back us into a corner and make us think that we're the only ones that's serving God. But I got news for you. There's a lot of God's people still holding the banner high. Amen. Still carrying that remnant of God. So he tells them that blessed are they that mourn, because the Spirit of God will give us comfort. You know, many, many years ago when I first got into the ministry, and my mentor, my hero was my granddaddy, my pastor, and I had observed him on a number of occasions at the bedside of someone who was sick, or even in a funeral home where he would go in and speak to the loved ones, those that were there and had saying goodbye to their precious loved ones. And I was with him one day in a car, and we were driving back from a funeral service. And of course, I affectionately called him Papa. I said, Papa, how do you know what to say to people that have just lost someone or just are on their deathbed? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, son, said, people don't remember very much what you say, but they'll always remember if you were there. And I thought how profound that was to know that letting people know that when you are there personally, when you are there in body, to let them know that you're giving them comfort. So in our time of mourning, in our time of sorrow, and in our time of grief, just know this. Even if some people don't even acknowledge your grief, don't even acknowledge that you're mourning, and maybe they just say, yeah, I know what you're going through. And you know, some of the times those words, you appreciate them, but they don't really give you what you really need. lean on God for His comfort, because He will always comfort you. And we don't think so many times that we're blessed when we're mourning, or we're blessed when we're grief-stricken, but we are blessed in all situations. And that's what Jesus was telling them. And you know what? This is kind of some strong medicine for the disciples, because up until this point, they'd always depended on Jesus. Jesus is always right there with them. Jesus is taking care of them. Jesus is providing miracles right and left and healing folks, and they're all a part of that. But Jesus is knowing that He bodily is not going to be with them always, and He's preparing them and let them know that you're blessed in spite of all of these situations and all of these outward conditions that you may incur while you're ministering. He then goes on to say, "Blessed are the meek." Blessed are the meek. Do not confuse that with weak. Amen. Many, many times people think that the church is weak because we don't stand up for certain things. But that's not what the Lord is talking about here. He said, "Blessed are the meek." The meek mainly are those that are mild-tempered and gentle spirit. Amen. We need to allow God to do our fighting for us. Vengeance is His. He will repay. You will win a whole lot more people by being kind-hearted and a gentle spirit, amen, and a spirit of meekness than you will trying to rear up and try to get your point across to them. Amen. You'll probably never win a debate because people will always come back with something. But if you love them, if you share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a loving, humble, meek way, He's telling His disciples, it'll go much further than getting angry or trying to one-up on someone that you're trying to share with. So He said, "Blessed are the meek." Jesus Himself exemplified the very spirit of meekness. He was a gentle spirit. He had an opportunity to call angels down from heaven, but He stood there silent. Amen. Because He knew His destiny. He knew what the Father had sent Him to earth to do, to be the sacrificial lamb, to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. You see, He wasn't weak, but He was meek. And we have that same power. We don't have to be weak. Amen. But we do, according to the word of the Lord, in order to be blessed, we need to have meekness and mild-tempered and a gentle spirit. Then He goes on to say, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst." But He specifically says, after righteousness. Amen. Hunger and thirst to do the right thing. To live a holy and righteous life. Not in the eyes of man, not in the eyes of those that would quickly condemn us, but in order to please the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my desire, that Jesus will be pleased with me. I was humming a song this week, and it's a song I hadn't heard in a long, long time, but it simply says, some of the lyrics says, "Is my Lord truly satisfied with me? I want my life to be what He'd have it be. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me." And when all is said and done, when I breathe my last breath on this earth, it doesn't matter if I've been pleasing or if people have been satisfied with me, but it does matter if the Lord is satisfied with me. So hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, the reason He uses hunger and thirst, those are two senses that we're going to take care of. I will assure us, somehow, some way, if we're hungry enough, we'll find something to satisfy us. We'll find something to sustain us. And if we're thirsty enough, we'll find something to drink. And that's what Jesus is talking about. If you have that sincere hunger, and if you have that terrific thirst for righteousness and the Word of God, and where does that come from? A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's again telling His disciples, in all these cases, He's leading it off with, you're blessed if, you're blessed when. You're blessed when this happens to you. You're blessed. And He's not talking about riches. He's not talking about wealth. He's not talking about fame. He's not talking about having a large congregation. He's not talking about having revivals for the rest of this year lined up. He's talking about you're going to be blessed even when you don't identify it as being blessed. Because I will be with you in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they will be filled. In verse 7, He addresses the merciful. He said, "Blessed are the merciful." You know, mercy can be a two-way street. We're very quick to want to be the recipients of mercy. I myself and very thankful for the mercy of God. Amen. Sister Jennifer sings a song, Mercy Stepped In. Aren't we grateful? Aren't we thankful that mercy stepped in, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Mercy stepped in when judgment had every right to step in. Amen. You know, we live in sin, we operate in sin, but Jesus loves us anyway, and His mercy stepped in, and He died on the cross of Calvary that through His shed blood, that mercy could be applied to our life. And the more I think about grace, the more I think about mercy, the more I think about the overwhelming, abundant love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He loved me, amen, even when I was unlovable, lets me to know that we are the recipients of mercy. And He was reminding the disciples of that as well, but also telling them to be merciful. Man, you know, I pray that Lord would give me the ability to love folks as He loves folks. You know, Jesus looks at the sinner and sees something good in that person and draws them. Amen. That's what He did to me. He didn't love my sin. He didn't love the things that I was doing, but He loved me. He loved me enough to prick my heart. He loved me enough to convict my soul and let me know that I didn't have to stay in that sinful nature, that I could, in fact, come to an altar of repentance. That's His mercy. And now Jesus said, as you receive mercy, then extend that mercy to others, and you'll be blessed for it. You'll be blessed to give mercy to that person who identifies themselves as your enemy. That person that identifies themselves as being hurtful or hateful to you in a number of ways, if you will extend that spirit of mercy, you'll be blessed. What does it mean? It means compassionate, giving mercy, and in return, certainly receiving mercy. You will be blessed. Then verse 8, He addresses the pure in heart. I believe that everybody desires to have a pure heart, but in all of our goodness, in all of our own righteousness, in all of our own abilities to try to, in fact, have a pure heart, I find that it's going to be an absolute impossibility until we ask Jesus Christ to come in and take His abode into our heart. Because I believe that His Spirit is the only thing that can actually create a pure heart within our soul and within our spirit. But He says, pure in heart. You're blessed with a pure heart. And a pure spirit, basically. You know, when you have a pure heart and a clean heart, then it portrays in your character. It becomes evident in your spirit. You'll have a sweet spirit. You'll have a gentle spirit. You'll have a loving spirit, as Jesus did. Again, all that Jesus is telling the disciples here is nothing more than He Himself exemplified while He was on this earth. And He says, if you'll do it, you'll be blessed. If you do what I ask you to do, blessings will come. You will be blessed and anointed. Maybe not in the form of worldly gain, maybe not in the form of popularity or all the worldly things, but in fact, when we think about that, all those things are going to pass away anyway because they're temporal or temporary. But what I want and what I want in my soul and in my life is something that's going to last eternal. And that's what the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will do. So blessed are the pure in heart. Verse number 9, and we've talked about this a lot of times. We hear it in messages. We hear it incorporated in Bible studies and Sunday school lessons. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I mean, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be called a child of God. I do not take that lightly at all. I mean, when I say I'm a child of God, I am certainly not putting praise on myself. I'm putting praise on Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that's what allowed me to become a child of God and to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But it says, blessed are the peacemakers. And peacemakers are not just referees. Sometimes we think if we can cool an argument, we're then a peacemaker. Well, that's more of a referee. And by all means, try to do that as much as possible. But basically, when peacemakers are disciples who have the spirit of wisdom and mediation. You know, a fitly spoken word, refers to in the Bible, can do so much goodness. Sometimes that same conversation can have an ill-spoken word, and it's almost like throwing fuel on a fire. It'll make the situation worse. But you as disciples, he's saying, you need the spirit of mediation and the spirit of wisdom know when to speak that word, know how to speak that word. You know, sometimes it's not so much the word, but it's how it's spoken. And I believe that Jesus was, to me, I do not believe he was standing up on a rock ranting and raving and screaming and hollering. I believe he was sitting down, just very mildly speaking these words, but they were so profound. They were so wonderful. They were, and to me, I can almost envision not only the disciples, and I believe it was more than just his closest 12. I believe it was many people who were devoutly following Christ that was being able to feast on these words that Jesus was speaking. But in my mind, they're almost sitting there. I can almost see them in just total amazement and total awe at the wisdom that's coming out of this carpenter's son, whom they call Jesus, and let them know the very secrets of life and the very secrets, amen, to eternal life with the Father. So he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Who are the peacemakers? The ones who exhibit wisdom and mediation that can calm a storm, that can speak a word, that can maybe quench the fire that's going on between an argument or something, but also just to kind of be a peacemaker in church, to let when somebody's going through a storm or a problem or trial, you could be there to help them and to speak peace and comfort to them. And then Jesus kind of drops the bomb on them. Amen. He saved this to last, and I don't know if he intentionally did. I guess he did. I don't think Jesus did anything by accident. I think he had a motive for every word that he spoke. But after he had the disciples' full attention, and he was speaking these words of wisdom to them and the strength and knowledge that was coming through as he opened his mouth, Matthew said, and spoke these words, he finally said, blessed are when you are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the last part of that sounds good, but I would imagine, and I'm just kind of saying, if I would have been sitting there and I'd heard all of these things, and then Jesus said, you're going to be blessed when people persecute you. Maybe that doesn't set as well as maybe some of these other things. Maybe they were a little bit easier to digest and to swallow, but then it probably really gets their attention when she said, you know what, persecution is going to come your way. Not maybe. It is going to happen. When it happens, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be rewarded because great is your reward in heaven, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus mentions this last, and it may seem to be the hardest to understand, to know that there are going to be some persecutions in our life. And as I think about the things that are transforming in our life today, we may call them persecutions. We may call them hardships. We may call them burdens or trials or things, whatever you want to refer to them. Probably you wouldn't refer to them as pleasant things that are happening in the world today. But then I'm reminded that we are still blessed, regardless of the outward conditions, regardless of what's going around us, regardless of what people say or think about us, we are still blessed. You know, whatever people say about you does not change the fact that you still have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I thought about Satan and how he likes to bow up and try to bring everything in the world against us and against the believers of Christ, hoping that something will stick. But you know what? The more he persecutes us, the more he comes against us, the more that we need to realize and understand that we are blessed even through persecution. Basically, this refers to long-suffering and forgiving spirit. Wow, that's very hard to do. But Jesus just didn't speak the words. He lived the words. And you think about, as he was preparing the disciples, he knew the road that he was going to have to travel. He knew, being God in man, I believe with all of my heart, he knew the Roman soldiers that was going to apprehend him. He knew that they was going to plait a crown of thorns and embed it upon his head. I believe he knew every step that they were going to take. I believe he knew the conversation that he was going to stand before Pilate and be sentenced to a crucifixion on a cross. I believe he knew the intense pain that he was going to have to endure and the cross that he would carry. But in all of that, he remained as humble as a lamb. In fact, the very epitome of the lamb, referred to as the Lamb of God. who was without sin, who was without deceit, who was without guile. And he became that sacrificial lamb for us. Yes, he was persecuted, but you can be persecuted and still be blessed. And listen what he follows that up with. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. I want us to pause there. There's probably not a person under the sound of my voice that has not had some time in your history someone speak ill of you. Maybe someone even say something false about you. Someone start a rumor about you. And if anything, that kind of makes our blood boil sometimes. We really want to get even. We really want to get back at them. But Jesus is telling the disciples, that's not the road you need to take. You need to be above that. And you need to be a peacemaker. And you need to understand that you are still blessed, even when men say all manner of things about you and revile against you. It doesn't change the fact that you're still a child of God. We are blessed, even in situations that we don't identify as being blessed. Then he goes on to say, rejoice, not only are you blessed, but during these times, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Listen, don't forget to put that reward in heaven. So many of us think our reward is going to come down here. Blessings come, but the reward that I'm living for God for is in heaven. I know without a shadow of a doubt there's nobody in this world that can change that fact. No matter what they say, no matter what they think, no matter what they do. And child of God, no matter what goes on around us, cannot change the fact that our home is in heaven if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know what Jesus is saying? This is not new. This is not new. It'll happen again. And we're seeing that unfold, unfortunately, in the day and hour. But I wanted to encourage you with the so-called Sermon on the Mount and sort of take it verse by verse and analyze what Jesus was saying. Because Jesus knew what we'd be facing today. Not only did he know the disciples at that point in time, but we today are disciples of Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, you are, in fact, a disciple of Christ, disciplined by his word, amen, and called to be an ambassador for God. So cherish those words of the Lord. Read them. Apply them to your heart. Amen. And don't get discouraged. Amen. Because our reward is not here, but our reward is in heaven. God bless you for tuning in tonight. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you. And we just want to send a great big hug out to each and every one of you. Let you know how much we love you. And we are praying for you. We may not be there, right there to touch you and to hug you, but rest assured, we are praying for each and every one of you. And I want to remind you again, church especially, those that are members and friends of First Pentecostal Church, take some time this week. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are afflicted. Call them by name. If you're not sure who it is, just say, Lord, you know who they are. And bless them and strengthen them. And also tell God to comfort them, because God needs to comfort those and give them peace. There's many, many people hurting in our world today. May God bless you again. We will be live streaming Sunday morning service only. There'll be no Sunday night service. And we will be live streaming next Wednesday night service. And we will let everybody know. Hopefully, we'll be able to have corporate worship the following Sunday. God bless you. Have a wonderful and a blessed evening from First Pentecostal Church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity, God, to come into your house to worship tonight. We thank you for those who have tuned in. We thank you for those who are viewing through live stream. And Father, even though we can't see them, you can. You know what they're going through. And Father, I pray that you would touch them right now. Minister healing, comfort, and peace to each and every home. Pray for those, God, who are in the hospitals, those who are sick and afflicted, God, that you would just touch them. Keep your hand upon them, and we'll give you all the honor and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.